B-Pod Studios.
Right hand to at the end, you know what I'm saying? So it's left, right, left, right.
Right.
And then now once you switch over to the left side, now you should be punching right, left, right, left. But if you're so used to being on the right side and you mess around and you throw that left hand just out of habit, now you need to be in here with us hanging out, you know, because you're going to get the quarterback destroyed.
Right.
You never throw your outside hand first on any position out there. I mean, the center has to do it because they're snapping the ball. But when you're looking at that guard and tackle, you know, when you're switching guys around like that, you know, it kind of gets tricky where you have to have that mindset. Okay, you have to be extremely disciplined to be able to do that.
There you go. 610-632-0975. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Now, there is a guy back in that locker room that hasn't been there in quite some time, and that's DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. He was very close his last year here to setting the all-time franchise record for a season for receiving yards. I believe Mike Quick holds that record right now. Maybe it's Harold Carmichael. And Mike Quick, I think, has the single season record. So he's back. Finally, you have that guy who can stretch the field like DeSean Jackson, who just happens to be DeSean Jackson. So Carson Wentz yesterday spoke about having D-Jacks at practice.
Obviously, I learned he's pretty fast. He's a pretty smooth runner. You know, people might say he's getting up there in age, but he can still go. So I'm excited to just keep building that chemistry with him, and both on the field and off the field. He's a great teammate, and, you know, I think we're going to do something special with him.
When I set the scene earlier, talked about walking down the walkway at the NovaCare complex, a little breeze going through the air, beautiful sun shining. Breeze was going through the shrubbery on the way down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there I walk out on the field and I see D-Jax. I see Carson throwing the passes and all that fun stuff and catching it. And it was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
I think I don't want to be the guy that's overhyping it, even though I know that's exactly what I just did. But I can't wait to watch that combination this year. There are going to be the games where we're all pissed off at DeSean. He can't get open, whatever. They're having a safety float over to his side for over-the-top help, whatever. But he is going to have that three-run home run type potential.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have that home run capability on the field. I can't wait to watch that again.
Yeah, because what he's going to do is he's going to take the safety. They're going to have to rotate over to kind of, you know, keep DeSean bottled up a little bit. But then now that opens everything underneath. Now your tight ends, your Dallas, your Zach Ertz, your Jeffrey and all of that. Now they can make some hay, get open. And now once that safety starts collapsing on them, then now you go over to talk to DJ. So this is definitely something that they needed.
I 100% agree. And the other part of it is that you have a guy that's a veteran. And when he was here, he wasn't a veteran. We're here, immature. Get him out of here. Mm-hmm. Immature sometimes. Goes around to Washington, goes to Tampa. Oh, so immature. The guy is putting in the work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he knows. I mean, right now, this is it. You know, this is where this is going to be your final hoorah. And you want to make sure that you come back right. You know, you never wanted to leave Philly, so now you get an opportunity to come back. So now it's time to prove everybody wrong and show that, you know what, if I would have been here the whole time, I would have rewritten all of these record books. Rewritten all these records.
Yeah, he could have, too. And I'll tell you what, it was a few years ago, a couple years ago, whatever, that Hard Knocks did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and DeSean Jackson was on there, and they concentrated, obviously, on Jameis Winston or whatever. But in the times that they showed DeSean Jackson, a couple times it was like, dude, you got to throw me the ball. You know, you might, like, squeam at that a little or whatever, but I came away thinking, man, he's a lot more professional than I ever knew. Now, I was never around the Eagles when he was there, rarely around the Eagles when he was there. But the perception that he's a baby, that he's, you know, a diva or whatever, certainly was erased from my mind when I watched that Hard Knocks.
And listen to Doug Peterson yesterday talk about DeSean, because he got asked about DeSean being in the building and being around and being I think the question actually was being present for OTAs, just showing up, right? And listen to Doug Peterson.
DeSean's been here. I mean, I'm, you know, that was probably one of the things that I was excited about with him, you know, that he's here and working with the guys and working with Carson. And I'm just looking forward to getting him out there and moving around and you know, how much he's picked up with the offense, you know, through phase one and two, and seeing how best we can use him.
Do you hear Doug Peterson right there get a little bashful?
Oh, yeah.
Get a little, Jamie, give me the first 3 seconds of that again.
DeSean's been here. I mean. DeSean's been here. I mean, I'm
right there. He's like, oh my God, this guy's just great.
He's so awesome. I can't wait. Can't wait. We're going to go past 67. We're going to take it over the top first place.
he's the cartoon with the hearts coming out of the eyes.
Yeah, man, he's so happy. DeSean Jackson is here. He's coming in. He's putting in the work. He's making sure that he's getting in with the group of guys with his receiver core and also putting in the work with Carson so that when the game comes, you know, you have that trust. You have that relationship. And he and then he already knows how to handle it.
Doug's got a new toy.
I mean, think about that, though. Like, that's what they've been missing.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, all the possibilities that opens up for Doug. There's so much it opens up in the playbook having somebody like that.
I am, and you guys know this about me, my first love is baseball. It's still my favorite sport, right? And, you know, football and hockey and basketball are all, you know, fighting for second place. But for me, I had that giddy feeling of, like, opening day. And it was only OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that is because we were all riding this high of the Sixers playoff run. And by the way, anyone still think they'd be up like, you know, 2-0 or 4-0 right now? They would have won the series by now against the Bucks. Anybody else riding that right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not riding that right now. But we were riding that playoff high with the Sixers. And then it comes crashing down after that just gut punch of a shot by Kawhi Leonard. And then we had a week kind of like, well, we have the Phillies. And they're a first place team, but it's May in baseball. Do you get excited or not? Whatever. I was excited after Monday's win, pulling that one out, right? Last night, another one of a gut punch. But now it's like, it feels like football's back. Mm-hmm. And it's not even back. It's practice.
Yeah.
It's OTAs.
Huh?
You have some veterans there, Jason Peters, Lane Johnson, Malcolm Jenkins, not even there. And they're just literally showing up to practice a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that giddy feeling, man. I got that opening day feeling walking into that complex yesterday.
Well, in 100 minutes of workouts yesterday, which is what they were,
mm-hmm.
you got more action than you got in a three-hour Phillies game last night. And I'm not putting down the Phillies. I watched the whole game. We all watched the whole Phillies game last night. But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You go from the highs and the quickness and the anxiety of NBA and NHL playoffs to the mundane baseball, and now you have something else to divert your attention in football, which is number one in this city. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the natural, you know, ride of the roller coaster there.
We did have a little bit of basketball news yesterday. And that was Tobias Harris and the potential suitors for where he could be going.
Yeah, it's growing.
The list is growing?
Yeah.
Let me tell you the only one that matters.
What did you say, Jim?
It's growing.
Oh.
That's why I specified and said the list of potential suitors.
Yeah. I didn't. I had to go back.
There's Jazz, Nets, Mavericks, Sixers, and what was the other one?
Brooklyn?
Or did you say Brooklyn?
Yeah, I said Brooklyn.
The Jazz, the Mavericks, the Nets, the Sixers, and there was one other one.
Yeah.
But he's gone. I believe that. I believe he's going to be gone because I don't think they're going to want to match what he'll get offered.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And plus, if you look at the draft and like all the mock drafts out there right now where they're
taking a lot of fours.
It's all fours and fives.
Yeah.
Like the most recent one I saw was, who is it, Naz Reid out of LSU?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
He kind of chooses when he wants to play.
Would you sign him to 4 years, 145?
No, I wouldn't.
Would anybody?
No.
Tobias Harris?
Yeah.
Especially if I'm giving 190 to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I'd do both.
You would?
Yep.
Yeah.
It limits what you can do.
That's all you have to do is limit. That's all. If you get those two and you have Simmons and Embiid, that's all you have to do is limited things.
All right. We have some more basketball talk coming up in a minute because I want to get into this conversation that Mikey Miss was having yesterday on the show from an emailer that already had a ruling on the process.
Right.
And it involves a phrase that I hate saying in sports. It involves, especially in sports talk radio, as a fan, I hate saying it, but we'll get to it in a second. Gary, let's jump up to Gary in Northeast Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
I was just in Tampa, you know, last 7 years. And Deshaun, Winston was overthrowing him every practice, every game. So guess what? He barely even played, so he should be really fresh for the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, that's good news. I didn't know, and look, it looked like, and it wasn't just him putting on Fitzpatrick's clothes after they beat the Eagles, but they seemed like they had a good rapport, the two of them. Mm. And it didn't ever seem like he got on the same page as Jameis Winston.
Yeah, what I want to say, Deshaun, he was a professional, and he always has been. And we never should have gotten rid of him in the first place.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry you guys lost him. Well, I'm happy to have him back. Thanks for the call, Gary.
I
appreciate it, man. I just think that he's going to have a great impact on this team. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I can't say it enough. It's something they've missed since he's been gone. Now he's back. And he even talked about how, you know, he's a little older now. He's got to do a better job taking care of himself. I think the line was a cheetah doesn't stretch. Now at least he has to think about stretching. right, as an older player, what, 32 mm-hmm. years old now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Trey, at the trade deadline last year, you were about getting Deshaun.
Oh, yeah, I was all about it. I always wanted Deshaun back, and I'm glad that they did it and brought him back. I think he's going to be exactly what Carson needs. I mean, you know, you give Carson as many weapons as you can, and I think Deshaun Jackson is the perfect fit for what you need out there. You need that speed receiver. You need someone that can take that deep threat. And it's not a guy. He's not a guy that you're going to be – that's going to get 10, 15 targets a game. You know, he's going to be a guy that you're looking at maybe 5 or 6 targets, and there you go.
Yeah, then let him loose.
Yeah.
Run the field.
Yeah.
At 1:03 p.m. On Sunday, September 8th. First play of the Eagles offense will be a bomb.
Oh, yeah. Pass 67.
Jackson.
Pass 67.
Is that what the call is? All right. There it is.
Pass 67. It looks like run. You know, where you had the tackle. They come out and you want to run the end upfield. You have a chipper out of the running back. And then now everything looks like run. You have a jab and pick on the backside where everybody kind of steps down to the B gap. And then they circle back for the outside, you know, anything that's coming outside.
There
and then,
it is.
Bam, there you go, right at the top.
Is that the TO play?
That was a TO play.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a page. I was going to say, Bob, I had the thought, but to go
1:03. 1:03 p.m. Eagles win the coin toss. Eagles, or whatever, get the ball. And there it is.
I used to love pass 67s too, man, because you set the DNs up. You make the DN look, make him feel like, oh, he beat you up around the corner. And then here come Deuce or Westbrook and just come clean his clock, man. Nice chip block. Yeah.
All right.
Pass 67. That was lovely.
No, that would be
lovely.
Yeah. That would be a carbon copy of the Andy Reid, as you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Pass 67. So you look at how that could unfold. I just want to see it, and I want to see it come to fruition. It's one of those things that I want to see set the tone for the rest of the season. Now, on the other side of this, there's a little bit of controversy with the ending of Game of Thrones. And I talked to Carson Wentz actually yesterday in the Eagles locker room. Said he was feeling good. Everyone heard that. You know, no knee brace, no restrictions. Everyone knows that now. But what they might not know is that Carson Wentz was not at all a fan of Game of Thrones.
I like that boy.
Not surprised.
Said he watched 20 minutes of the first episode with his wife.
Yeah.
They couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
They didn't like it.
He had his own conquering to do, maybe.
He's like, what is this? What is this? What is this in my eyes? I can't unsee this.
But another quarterback in the NFL loved Game of Thrones so much, he was in Game of Thrones, and that man's name was Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers loved the show so much, he agreed to have a small role where he got basically lit on fire by a dragon and run into an alley where he basically gets lit on fire. But he hated the way Game of Thrones ended. Hated it so much, he went on a little bit of a rant to the media out there in Green Bay when asked about the ending and whether or not he liked the way Game of Thrones ended with Bran on the throne.
No. I love the show, and it was a great 10 years, but no. I mean, you come down to the end, and Tyrion says, the person with the best story is Bran. Who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
So who should have been on the throne?
I mean, I think Danny should have been on the throne. Here's the thing, though. Here's my last theory about it. If Bran, the three-eyed raven, who's, you know, all about the health of the realm, let's think about what he did. He basically wanted the throne the whole time because he's the one that told the Starks, knowing that Sansa would tell Tyrion, knowing that Tyrion would talk to Varys, knowing they'd scheme for Danny's death, knowing that would piss her off, which led her to be the Mad Queen. So he, the entire time, kind of set this whole thing up. And at the end, he goes, oh, yeah, I don't want to be king. Oh, but why did I travel all this way to be here? No. Look, I love the opportunity to be in the show, which most people probably don't think I was, but I was there. I love the show. But, you know, the writers are also doing Star Wars, so I think they might have been a little busy this last season.
Yeah. Oh!
He threw a fiery arrow, Trey.
Mm-hmm. Fiery sword.
Bob, my
fiery sword.
Yeah. Get that wrong.
Swords to light on fire.
And I found out yesterday that there, and I can't say it yet, but there's one member of the Eagles who actually signed the near million signee, petition to rewrite the last season of Game of Thrones.
And you won't give up who it was?
I can't give it up. I can't give up who it was.
Why?
Because it's in a bit I did for NBC. So I just want to tell you that there is one person in that locker room who signed it. I will tell you this. Everybody hated it, but one player, and I'll tell you who didn't like it. One player that did like it was Stefan Wisniewski.
Oh, so he didn't sign the petition.
Wiz was the only person that was somewhat positive.
He's been hitting that a few times.
But everybody else in the locker room, not liking it. They hated it, as a matter of fact. We seem pretty much unified. We're a united city when it comes to the finale of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's at least good that we're all on the same page there. But I don't know of another show. I mean, Breaking Bad is the other show that kind of, in the last 10 years or so, really took everybody by storm. Sopranos a little bit as well. But really, those are the two shows that kind of captured all of pop culture.
I think Sopranos was a good ending.
Power.
Power?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Power?
The 50 Cent series that comes on.
I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Stars,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, Stars, yeah.
I've heard that's really good.
I thought
good.
You were saying Power because that was what Game of Thrones was all about. Yeah, and now I was like, whoa, Trey's going deep on it. Yeah, the meaning of life. That's and not, power yeah, and greed. Sexist, yeah.
Yeah, no, the series Power, that's pretty cool. I like that one.
But what I'm saying is that hasn't ended yet, has it?
No.
No, okay, so it's still out there.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is this is something that has captured all of pop culture. It's the ending of. And Breaking Bad. I didn't watch Breaking Bad till years later. I just finished Breaking Bad maybe a year ago, not even. That was a spectacular show, but I think you lose a lot when you go and binge something. When you go back, you don't get to have the anticipation of the next week or the next season. You can literally jump from season 4 to season 5 and forget about the cliffhanger. You're not thinking about it for an entire, you know, off season, 6 months, whatever it might be. Uh-huh. You're right back in the action.
Yeah.
So you don't get that feeling of angst. Game of Thrones, you had an angst of 2 years, and that's what it built up to. And now everyone's talking about, like, what the hell did I just watch? And it came up, and we referenced this earlier, the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Would you get involved in a relationship if you knew the way it ended? If you knew it wasn't going to end well, would you have that relationship with that person?
Oh, that's
the
question.
That's the question that was asked in the movie, basically, that they entertained. So the question would be, if you know a series or a show ended that you loved, but you knew it ended horribly, would you watch it? Like, people right now are going to binge Game of Thrones because it's taken over a lot of the pop culture, whatever.
I can't do it.
You can't go back and watch it. All right. No. So Dallas Goddard and Craven LeBlanc are going back to go back and watch all of it. They're binging it. They're on season 6, they told me yesterday. So they're going back and they're watching all of it.
Yeah, I could. Because I hated the... I know, Jamie, you say you liked it. I didn't like the end of the
Sopranos.
Like
it. I thought it was corny. Oh, Sopranos. Yeah, I like Sopranos.
But I loved the Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
And that last episode didn't ruin all the other ones. So, yeah, I guess I could, even if you knew the ending was subpar.
I know a lot of people were pissed at the end of the Sopranos. I got into Sopranos real late. I don't think it was like the spectacular show that everybody talks about. I think it was a great, really good show.
Yeah.
But like I said, I got into it late, so maybe the ending didn't affect me like it affected other people. But I will say this: I think this will affect some people, and whether or not, well, if it all builds up to this one moment, and the moment sucks, then why should I invest the 10, you know, whatever season, or excuse me, 10 years, 8 seasons? I should that you invested if it doesn't end well. If I don't like the end of the story, why am I even watching the story?
How many episodes altogether, Game of Thrones?
I think it was like 71. Like, I honestly don't know.
So you wasted, say, like 85 hours of your life.
I don't view it as wasted, though.
Yeah, see,
but Mark kind of does now.
But here's the deal.
No, kind of.
I look back and I don't think it was wasted because I was entertained throughout.
Okay, all right.
I was.
This morning I thought, all right, if you knew the ending to this, would you go back?
Right. Probably.
Yeah, there you go. That's the right answer.
Okay. Yeah, I probably would.
I thought earlier this morning you were kind of like, you didn't think so.
Like, I'm sure we've all had ex-girlfriends that would we do it over? Not really, but you learned a lot from that relationship, and you learned what to do, what not to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, if I hadn't had that experience, then maybe I don't have the relationship I have today with somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, the ending was disappointing, but I don't regret the 7 years I watched of it.
I 100% agree. But what was a more disappointing ending? The ending of Game of Thrones or Pat Neshek not being able to pitch last night? What was more disappointing?
I don't know. Gabe and Neshek seem to be in a little Mexican standoff here.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
I don't know.
Who do you take?
I think I've shifted to more Neshek's side when last night I was anti-Neshek.
All the time, I would understand a lot. If this was last year, I'd look at Gabe. But I'll say it again. Gabe seems to me to be a guy that seems a lot more comfortable this year. And he should be because he has this much more talent.
Did you see Garcia's movie pulled on him last night when he came out to get the ball from him on the mound?
No.
He hid the ball behind his back, and Gabe came out to like reach for the ball, and Garcia gave him a handshake. And they had like a great laugh. It was pretty funny. It was pretty good. But Gabe was like loose and laughing out there and comfortable. You know, it does seem like it's coming through.
I felt like last year Gabe was really putting on. I don't want to say he was fake. I'm not saying that. But trying to come off as he had a lot more confidence than he did. This year, I think it's more genuine confidence. Because, and look, he should. He's got a much better team.
Mm-hmm. I think last year he was trying to make a name for himself as a manager in some way. It came from the first game where you're taking Nola out 68 pitches, from tinkering with lineups, from the overshifts. I think it was, there was a lot there that he was saying, I got to put my thumbprint on this. This year it's more of, I can write 1 through 8 almost every day. Like, and I can sit back.
He had a major thing where he had Harper bat second and Segura bat third, four games mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no, Harper's been struggling. Segura's been doing great. Let me make an adjustment. I'm fine.
Right.
But last night, the way he managed the bullpen and the previous game as well made you going, what the hell? Four guys aren't available against a team like the. That's the other part we haven't even mm-hmm. mentioned yet. It's not like you're facing the Marlins. You're facing the Cubs. You want to make sure you have all the best arms available whenever they can go. What's the big question is, if he puts Nishak in against Descalso the other night, right? And Descalso doesn't get that Little League 3-run homer, then you feel a lot better about it because then maybe Dominguez doesn't go longer. Maybe he can pitch last night. Maybe Nishak can go back-to-back games, right. Whatever, if he's only getting 1 or 2 outs.
Right.
It's a totally different story. Maybe you're up in the series 2-0 instead of just a split series right now, 4-game set. By the way, the Coles are on the hill tonight, right?
Yeah.
Back to an 8 o'clock start time at Wrigley?
Is
if I'm not
tonight?
Mistaken, I think it's 8
it might
o'clock.
Be, yeah.
Yeah, because last night was also the ESPN National game, right. 7 o'clock start time. So you got the Coles going against each other. You face Cole Hamels tonight for the first time.
For the first time. That's pretty cool.
I can't wait. I can't wait to watch that game. 610-632-0975. Coming up, there was a question brought up to Mike Missinelli on a show yesterday by an emailer. And it goes back into something that I know will be kicking around until a championship comes to fruition about the process, quote unquote, right? About that period of time in Sixers basketball. And the emailer's argument was that the process was already a failure. Because they haven't advanced past where they left off. This, you know, one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals, which is exactly where they left off again this year. One win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. So before the process started, about 2 years before it actually started, they were one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. They got back to that spot. But somebody's already saying that it's already a complete failure. I can't go there. And I've never someone that was a hinky basher. I didn't believe that he should have a unlimited amount of time to turn this team into a championship contender. There's just something that we have to get into as far as judging all of that. And whether or not it's even time now to look back on that. Now that we've had a little bit over a week to digest what happened to the 76ers and the way they lost, and you've watched the Bucks and the Raptors battle it out in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Raptors were down 0-2. Now it's 2-2 heading back to Milwaukee. With all that being able to look at it in retrospect, we'll be able to look at it and determine at this point whether or not you could call it a success or not. That got brought up, and it's something that it's not one person saying it. It's something that has really come to a lot of people's mind, and people are trying to make sense of it. I want to try to make sense of it coming up in a little bit here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You want to jump on 610-632-0975. Do have to tell you about our deal of the week. You can get a 2019 Victory Golf Pass. Victory Golf Pass for only $29 with Fanatic Deal of the Week. Gain access to over 300 of the region's best golf courses, including 25 private courses at huge savings. Get it now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Get your Victory golf pass before they're gone while supplies are limited. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatics 924.
I want to tell you about my good friends at Medford Ford in beautiful Medford, New Jersey. As you know, when the time comes, I always get my Ford F-350 taken care of by the Ford certified experts at Medford Ford. I know from experience that their service department is top-notch, reliable, honest, fast, and of course, they always get the job done right. The service team at Medford Ford are my go-to guys for servicing my truck, but of course Medford Ford offers an incredible car buying experience. Right now through May 31st is their Memorial Day sales event where you can receive $5,000 cash back on their full line of SUVs like the Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Also, if you're looking for a great new truck, you can get 0% financing on the rugged new 2019 F-150 for 72 months. You know how I feel about that number 72. So set up your test drive today at MetforFord.com or go see my friends at Metford Ford on Route 70 in Metford, New Jersey, and tell them Trey sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
So right now we're missing out on this party that is the NBA Conference Finals, especially obviously Eastern Conference Finals. Sixers, Bucks, that's what a lot of people feel it should be. Maybe a bounce doesn't go the way it went for the Raptors, and the Sixers are enjoying that Eastern Conference Finals run now. Not the case. So now we have to sit in reflection mode. And we've had well over a week now to digest everything and look forward. So there's a bit of a doomsday scenario, which is both Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler decide to leave, and they decide to sign elsewhere. So then you're left with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
By the way, Knicks and Kings were the other two teams with Toby.
Okay, there you go. So if they leave, then you're left with a team with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and an aging J.J. Redick if he sticks around?
It's a big if, yeah.
All right. So if that's the case, as well as I think Joel Embiid will play, and I think he'll be an MVP candidate and all that stuff next year, that doesn't really look good for the Sixers team to have invested all this time on a guy that doesn't have a jump shot yet. I mean, we're talking about a lot more ifs. If you're also including Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris not coming back, then what else they could do in free agency? And if Ben Simmons develops that shot or not, and Joel Embiid learns to manage his off-the-court life a little bit better. So there's a lot to be said about the success or not of the process. I don't call it a success yet, but it's not a failure yet. And here's the phrase I hate using. It's still very much a wait and see. But here's the guarantee. I know right now I have more faith, even without Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris, in winning a championship in the not-too-distant future than I did with the Andre Iguodala-led 76ers. They got very lucky on that near-conference run that they had against the Celtics. So I hate to say it, but it's not a failure. It's not a success yet. It's still there's still a lot left to be determined.
Yeah, and it was funny. When I heard that Mike read that email yesterday, my first reaction out loud was, well, it's still too early. And same thing. I sat back and I was like, oh, my God, did you just say that? It's still too early. But it is. You're really basically
saying it's too early. Yeah.
You're 2 years into it.
Mm-hmm.
You're 2 years into the process, last year and this year. That's when you built teams that could compete in the NBA. The goal was to build a team, not just a team, but a team that could compete for championships. Okay, 4 years it took you to get there, right or wrong. Last year was the first year you got there, although I still think that was a year too early. But you got 52 wins last year. You got 51 this year. Now you're in that, all right, time to compete mode. You're in that, you have Joel Embiid, you have Ben Simmons, you had the ability to put pieces around them to go over the top, to get to conference finals, to get to NBA finals. Still too early. If you bring back Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there. And the process took you to that.
Yes.
So, it's an if this happens, you're there. If this doesn't happen, you're still in a better place, but you're not as close to being there as you could be. Yeah. That's what this whole process is all about.
I feel a lot better now. Like, look, even if that happens, I still feel better about the spot that I'm in.
Than you would have. Yeah, I understand
as
that.
As compared to 6 years ago.
No question.
Like that, and someone that says, oh, they got bounced out again, no improvement, didn't do anything. Well, no, you still have two guys.
All that matters is Ben and Joe. When you boil it down, that they're still in a good position,
yes,
for the next 10 years as long as they have those two playing and getting better.
And then I think it goes without saying that if you do have Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, even just Jimmy Butler stay, you still feel a lot better about it.
Oh, yeah. And now it's on Elton Brand because this offseason is huge, and I think the draft philosophy has to shift to that of a contender and not that of a processing franchise. So there's a lot ahead, and you know, it could be. I don't think it'll ever be bad.
Mm.
It could not be great, but I don't think it'll ever be bad.
Well, how about, okay, fine. But so on that note, then the Sixers before weren't bad. They were a playoff team, right?
Now, look, I know it all depends how you define bad, I guess.
Right. Well, it's purgatory.
Like, the eighth seed in the East is bad, in my opinion.
You're purgatory.
Yeah, seventh seed, bad.
Yeah.
All right, when you get to 6-5, all right, maybe you can make a case that it's not bad
anymore.
But at
least if you're bad, you're getting lottery picks. Like, I define it as that.
It's purgatory.
Right. So
which is bad.
As long as I'm just not getting to that again.
Because you don't know.
Exactly.
You're not. As long as you have Joel Embiid. I mean, I'm not saying forget Ben Simmons, but as long as you have Joel Embiid, you're not.
Man, I'm trying to be dumb there.
I always describe it as a blank check of time. I mean, Trey, if you're playing for a general manager that's like, you know, we'll win in 7 years. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling as a player trying to win for that guy?
Not good.
So that's what they kind of infused the locker room with for all those years.
Yeah.
And now you have two guys you know you could build around.
Yeah. Yeah, and now's the time. You need to strike while the iron is hot. I mean, you have a solid core of guys with Ben and Joel, and then if you bring Jimmy Butler back, who can be the leader in that locker room to help guide these guys along, then that only makes this team stronger.
Is there any chance, like, if you don't bring back J.J. Redick, and let's say you don't bring back one of the two, Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler, is there any chance you get the sharp-shooting Klay Thompson? Because people will avoid the big names. Like, Kawhi Leonard doesn't get mentioned.
Right.
He's a free agent, but
yeah.
Well, we talked to Shefty earlier, and Shefty told us, I see him being a Clipper. Like, and then pretty much everyone has him going to Los Angeles, but he's going to be out there.
Yeah, and you talk about Kyrie and Durant. Where are they going? Mm-hmm. Are they going to New York? Or is, you know, one going one place, the other going another? You don't hear Philly as the landing spot.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson's interesting. I mean, he's been a third fiddle, and he all his you know, NBA life. Does that change if he comes here?
Well,
probably not.
Yeah, because he's still third wheel,
right? I don't know. Yeah, that's a great question.
Let's get Donald and Chester up here. Donald, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Donald?
Morning. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I was just listening to you. You know, my opinion is that if we had got a legitimate point guard, then I don't think we would have had a trickle effect of these issues now, because if I had to pick between Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, of course I would take Jimmy. So I was just thinking because you could put Ben back in his original.
Donald, it sounds very windy where you are.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll call you guys back.
We'll be here till about 9:55.
Sorry, I called you right now, but I'll call you back. All right, Donald, either way. But it really does depend on, I can't remember this many ifs going into an offseason that I had so much hope for. Like, that combination is a dangerous hope. It's a dangerous combination because you're hoping for a lot, but you have all the ifs that fall underneath that. You're expecting a lot, but all the ifs that need to go in for that if for that hope to come to fruition.
And you're this close to, if they don't sign Jimmy Butler, if they don't sign Tobias Harris, if you go into next season and Joel Embiid is injury prone, that means this whole process so far has landed you a point guard that can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And an often injured center.
So do you then say, all right, Ben, we got to move you to power forward?
You got to rethink everything.
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
Yeah, you got to
retool everything.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to reprocess almost.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, in case you missed it yesterday, the news we have been waiting for this entire time got broke yesterday by Doug Peterson. We saw it come to fruition yesterday. To use that word again, it was great to see how everything unfolded, even albeit just practice at the OTAs yesterday for the Eagles. Well, I'll let you hear from Doug Peterson on that. We'll also let you hear from Carson Wentz as to who he really misses in that Eagles locker room, because it was touching. And Bob, you got into a little bit earlier.
I feel bad for Carson.
You do.
His heart's broken a little bit.
But you know, I also feel bad for that Nate Sudfeld a little bit. Even though he got a promotion from this gentleman leaving, it's like he needed that veteran presence. Now, presence. He had Cody Kessler, who is your veteran presence now. What? Because he played for the Browns a couple of times? He was 0-8 for the Browns in games he started. I need a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
former third-round pick. We'll see what goes there. We'll also get into One of the things from yesterday's Phillies game that I know rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and kind of how everything fell into place with that Phillies game yesterday, what was the cause and effect of not having four, count them, four of your best bullpen arms not able to help you out last night when playing one of the best teams in baseball? 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Once again, the Fanatic Deal of the Week. You can get a 2019 Victory Golf Pass for just $29 with Fanatic's Deal of the Week. Gain access to over 300 of the region's best golf courses, including 25 private courses. And get all the huge savings right there. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Get your Victory Golf Pass before they're gone. Time at the Fanatic is 941.
Hey, I'm here for our friends at Dietz and Watson. Philadelphians know great hoagies, and we know you don't get them from a convenience store. If you want a real Philly hoagie, you have to visit a real Philly deli. You know those little neighborhood spots where the Dietz and Watson meat and the cheese are served fresh, and they always know your name. These places are some of Philly's best-kept secrets. But guess what? The secret's out. Visit realphillydeli.com and check out Dietz and Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. It shows you where to find these amazing delis and how you can win big prizes every time you visit. The more you visit, the bigger you win. It's that simple. Birds tickets, anyone? Head to realphillydeli.com to get started. That's realphillydeli.com. Are you hungry or what? Only a Real Philly Deli company gives you the chance to win awesome prizes just for eating amazing hoagies. Dietz and Watson serving up the absolute best premium meats and cheeses to Philadelphia's finest delis for over 80 years.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Farzetta and Trey in the Morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the Morning, 610-632-0975. If you want to get in the final segment here, it is a Wednesday for Twitch TV. Watch Farzetta and Trey with Bob, Jamie. Samantha's on vacation. We'll have Pat Egan with us. You can watch us simply follow 97.5 The Fanatic on twitch.tv for our post-show showcast.
Egan's like must-watch Twitch. Right?
He always brings an edge.
He does.
Bit of an edge to him.
Yeah.
God bless him. We also have our sexy weather report, Trey, do we not, on Fridays here? We got a Farzetta and Trey. If you want to be a part of the morning show here, you can give us a call on our sexy weather line and give our upcoming weather for the weekend in your sexiest, hottest voice. And if we like it, we'll play it on the show Friday at 610-771-9759. Brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Carson Wentz. And who he misses the most in that locker room. Will in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Will?
Yeah, you guys earlier were saying that if Klay Thompson came here, it would be like a third scorer.
I didn't say that. No, we didn't. Third fiddle.
Okay. I misunderstood you. Third fiddle. Yeah. Well, I actually think he would be. Well, okay. I guess star power wise, he needs the third fiddle, but.
Will, that is an awful connection, my man. I'm sorry I got to cut you off there.
I think Will was going to say he's not a third fiddle because he'll have championship rings and all that. Understood.
Yes.
But he comes here. The fans aren't going to view him anything above Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid aren't going to view him as anything above that. Like he, you hate to say it. I understand what Will was going to say. But he is a third fiddle.
Yes. Sorry. When it comes to the popularity kind of, I think Will was alluding to that. He thought we said scoring, and obviously that wasn't right. The case. But yeah, when it comes to the two other guys on the roster, this is their squad. If Jimmy Butler's not here and Tobias Harris isn't here, I mean, really, if Jimmy Butler's not here, then yeah, we know whose team this is going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Real quick, yesterday, Carson Wentz was asked about a guy that helped him out a lot, a guy that helped out this franchise, a guy that helped out this city a lot, and he's not here now. And that's Nick Foles. And it was nice to have Nick Foles back here, especially with the Super Bowl championship. Nicky Six, BDN himself. Well, Carson went on yesterday when he was asked about not having Nick anymore to gush about his former teammate.
Nick and I have talked a little bit here and there, and I just miss his personality. He's so laid back. He's so relaxed, and I'm kind of kind of wired a little differently. I'm kind of type A, go, 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 and he's so relaxed. I think it was a good balance for me to see him and his attitude, and I also missed all the coffee that he made us. So he was a pretty good barista as well, so I'll definitely miss him there.
Is there anything that man didn't do? I mean, aside from being that good veteran presence and all that stuff for this team and to win a Super Bowl, he was offered the Java man. He made the coffee in the building.
Making coffee, man.
Are there coffee machines in the quarterback room, Trey?
I don't know.
Are there coffee machines in the meeting rooms?
I don't know.
This is just the one break room that has the coffee.
Well, I don't know. You know, the quarterbacks have their own little section upstairs.
Oh, of course they
do.
Yeah,
yeah. So their place is a little special.
Did you ever go
there? They're on the west.
No,
wing, right?
I never went up there. I never went to where, you know, because the centers would always have to go and meet with the quarterbacks.
I have been upstairs in the NovaCare complex, and you haven't?
Not as a player. I didn't.
Not
go
as
there.
A player, yeah, but as a coach.
Yeah, of course. I was up there then. But yeah, but you know where the quarterbacks meet, that's, you know, it's a special place. You know, and the centers go in there, and those are the only ones that go up there to go meet with the quarterbacks. The
hallowed grounds.
It's hallowed grounds.
Hallowed grounds.
They have probably a fancy coffee machine. I don't know. It's something.
Yeah, nice. But I'm curious. If he's the great barista, then they're not just popping in a Keurig and saying,
No.
He's probably getting beans.
Yeah, you're getting beans. You're getting beans. You know, you ground them up and, you know, you make a real coffee.
What do you think is more important to a workplace environment? Like the office funny guy or like the office barista? The office get stuff done guy?
Wow, that's
definitely not the goody-goody. That guy's a jerk. Everybody hates him.
No. I like the guy that gives you stuff. I like the swag. I like the swag giver away.
Before we get into our takeaways of the day on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation, one more time, for those of you who have not yet heard Ricky Bitalico last night lash out against the bullpen, and I got to give these numbers one more time before we get out of here. Here are the numbers. The guys that were not available last night, Pat Neshek, Adam Morgan, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Hector Neris. Ricky Bitalico leaned in on him a little bit last night because Pat Neshek pitched one inning in 3 days and warmed up the previous night, couldn't go into last night's game. Adam Morgan pitched an inning and two-thirds in the previous 3 days, couldn't go in last night. Sir Anthony Dominguez, two innings pitched previous day. Okay, I kind of get it. Hector Neris, one inning a day ago. Couldn't go in to the game last night. Ricky Bitalico lashing out against the bullpen last night on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Phillies Post Game Live.
I still need the idea that you have a closer, that a named closer, somebody that could go out there every day. Every day, every time you need a save, you have a guy that can go out there for one inning, because you see the disaster of what happens, how Gabe uses his bullpen, is that, look, you'll have two or three decent games in a row, but you're going to have a blow-up game because you don't have the components to put together an ending of a game, which, like today, that's a game you need. Where's Pat Neshek? Did he get up yesterday and not feel well, and that counts as like a day that he pitched? It's a tired act in all bullpens around the league that these guys can't pitch 2-3 days in a row.
Yeah, or
babies.
Babies.
Babies! They're babies! Can't pitch like that. I understand the modern day baseball and the modern arm of a bullpen guy, but to have four guys unavailable for a series like this, this falls on Gabe Kapler 100% in my book. Yeah. And that was our Twitter poll brought to you by the wonderful people of Window Nation. You can save 50% off on all their style windows, plus make no down payments, no payments, no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And the final Twitter poll on that 56% say it is Gabe Kapler's fault more so than Pat Neshek. Also, to tell you, 9 o'clock hours brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in the back at your state Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Let's get in our takeaways of the day. Jamie Lynch, what's your takeaway of the day?
Baby Skyler's doing well and awesome. Still not as big of a baby as Pat Neshek.
Well played. Is Pat Egan on the mic over there?
He is.
Hello.
Patrick?
You gotta look down. I'm here. My takeaway of the day is 3 days later, the Game of Thrones ending sucked.
Thank you. That's true. Aaron Rodgers says it, it's true. Bob Cooney looking dumbfoundedly at Pat Egan. Yes, Bob, what's your
takeaway? Only one way to look at Pat, and that's dumbfoundedly. Mine also relates to young Skyler Lynch. Skyler, please get good night's sleep, because when you do, your daddy is so much more easy to work with. When you don't, like yesterday, he's a pain in the damn ass. Sleep, Skyler. Sleep.
Jamie, you were in a better mood today.
Thanks, guys.
Sure. And despite the Phillies, you're in a better mood.
Yeah.
Trey Thomas, take it away today.
Man, my brother helped me out, man. He got me tickets to one of my favorite artists.
Oh, really?
Anderson Dot Pack last night.
His brother being Jamie Lynch, right?
Jamie Lynch hooked me up, man. It told me that the station was giving away tickets, so I made sure I got to him and was not disappointed. Probably one of the best shows I've seen in a while.
If you
ever get the chance to go check him out, you have to go check him out.
My takeaway of the day is actually from yesterday because I meant to have it as my takeaway of the day then, but I didn't. It's AJ's backup, bitches. If you're not on board with Carson, backup, bitches. Have a great day, everybody. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.